This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday. Exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
He lines up under center over the left side, and he is in for a one-yard touchdown run. Josh Allen's first rushing touchdown since week one. Allen in the shotgun takes the snap. Three-man rush in the end zone to Mac Hollins for the touchdown. The barefoot wonder. And the Bills are back in front. Back to pass. Pocket collapsing. Allen squirts away from it. Throws to the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown. Dawson Knox with the 12-yard touchdown reception. Rodgers looking to load up. Fires deep. Rainbow down the field looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted. Taron Johnson, welcome back. A humongous interception.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm back in the New York.
All right, it is Victory Tuesday. Good morning. Shake out the cobwebs. You're up. I'm up. Josh is up. I don't think Joe's up. Joe went to the game.
They had to keep it close all the way to the end.
Not only did they have to keep it close, they had to have it be a long game. Holy cow, that game was long. And the penalties, of course. A lot of people are going to complain about the penalties. I get that, too. All right, we're back, right? Everybody's back. Everybody's happy. Not stressful at all. I actually did not find the game to be that stressful. I don't know that a lot of Bills fans operate the way that I do in games like that, which is, I think they're going to win this the whole time. This is all these exercises and, okay, go ahead and take the ball back, Jets. All right, sure. Interception. There it is. Game's going to end. The Bills are going to get their first down. And maybe that's just coming from, you know, the last 5 years. What do? They win tons of games. And they never lose three in a row. They often don't give games away. Lots of teams do. The Bills often don't. So I have, I've adopted a bit of a, of course they're going to win this game. And then when they don't, there's shock. You know, then Houston last week. Then there's legitimate shock. Or one of the Titans losses in there where Josh falls on a quarterback sneak. I'm usually operating from they're going to do this. They're going to win this. And yesterday's no different. Yesterday, to me, this is a deep pull here, but Kevin Cole of Unexpected Points podcast and Substack and all that, he does a thing where he goes back through the game and EPA this and analytics that and kind of does an adjusted score of what the score kind of should have been. You know, they'll take out a Hail Mary and they'll maybe add in a field goal that would have gone through for most kickers to see what the adjusted score would be. And I feel like the adjusted score in Bills-Jets would be the Bills winning by 10. They probably should win that game by more than they did. And I'm not upset that they didn't. I'm just glad they got out with the win. Get out with the win. And along the way, we got something out of this game from the Bills that some of the other games had not really provided. Who's going to step up? Taylor Rapp in this game was tremendous. Taylor Rapp was awesome. Taylor Rapp maybe giving you visions of what it's like to have a great safety in a McDermott defense, whether it's the tackle on Breece Hall to save a touchdown or two pass breakups. Not all pass breakups are created equal, and Taylor Rapp had a couple of nasty ones, and that's hard to do as a safety in the league these days. You get penalized for everything, as we saw, and Rapp was great in this game. Josh Allen was great in this game. Ray Davis was great in this game. Dalton Kincaid was a contributor along the way. Dawson Knox, you know, you got a little bit more than you'd gotten in, well, a couple of weeks. It had been Josh Allen run around and look for something and nothing's there. And this time it was Josh Allen run around and look for something and there were things there. He was able to find. We got Curtis Samuel down the field. How about, right? He caught a pass long past the line of scrimmage. So, you know, It all worked out, and they beat the Jets, and the Jets have no hope. Absolutely no hope. If they're in a obvious passing situation, a team like the Bills is going to eat them up, unless it's a Hail Mary. They were after Rodgers most of the night. Rodgers can't get away. He's not mobile enough. The Jets, their season, their Rodgers experiment, it is cooked. It's not going to work. They might have a competitive team. They might win a wild card. That team is not going to win on the level that they had hoped when they brought in Rodgers. Hey, now we're a Super Bowl contender. They're not. Watch them play. They're just not. Just not there. They were able to run the ball against the Bills, so maybe the Bills do have a bit of a problem there. You know, again, like just kind of recapping the ups and downs from this game. So the Bills are, they're getting run on. They got run on in this game by Breece Hall. But ultimately, they just look like the better team to me. They look like the better team. They look like the more, I want to say the more disciplined team. Maybe that's ridiculous because there were personal foul penalties. One of them in the quarter switch on Deion Dawkins. You never see that in football. But officiating, everybody mad at the officiating. The thing about everyone getting mad at officiating, sorry, I'm all over the map here. You can help direct the show if you want. 803-0550. It's Victory Tuesday. Your thoughts on, you know, here's the laundry list. The win, the offense looking like it's not totally broken, the defense coming up with the turnover, making big plays, Taylor Rapp officiating, the Hail Mary. We'll, of course, get to that because this is a game that doesn't exist without the Hail Mary. So if you want to chime in on any of that stuff, 803-0550, Tyler Pass missing a kick, two. The one that got blocked looked like, I mean, I don't know if we can know this. The one that got blocked, did it not look like it was going to go 30 feet left anyway? Like that goes as a block, but that would have been a miss. Does a block bail them out? So they've got issues, but they got their win. And 4-2 feels pretty good. Two-game lead and the tiebreaker and some softer opponents. The Bills are going to steamroll, I would think, the Titans. We'll get to that throughout the week. Tennessee's quarterback is not good. They can't get anything going on offense. And this defense, you know, they had a good enough day. They did what they had to. I have Taron Johnson back there, and that's important. Garrett Wilson, he ate a little bit in this game, but the Bills' defense was up to the task overall and did the job. I mean, they hold them to, you know, 20 points, seven of which should not have happened. Another field goal drive or that should not have happened on a roughing the passer penalty on A.J. Epenesa. Like, that's a full possession given to the Jets on a bad penalty. So, anyway, all over the place this morning, lots to get to. It's a Victory Tuesday. It is Jeremy and Joe. Joe's not here. Joe was at the game last night. He'll be back tomorrow. I think he might call in at some point and, you know, tell us what it was like there. My father-in-law texted that there were 10,000 empty seats. The crowd was not loud. They gave up twice. All that. Bills, Jets. Congratulations, Jets. Your season is, you know, we all know what you're playing for. Wild card, maybe a little bit of credibility, but I don't know. The Rodgers thing is just not going to work. Interesting to me that how's the game get sealed? Right? The game ends on a couple of plays. One, Rodgers throws the pick to Taron Johnson. But more importantly, the Allen scramble. And this is where that Allen scramble, this is where dropbacks are a good thing. And you might have looked at the way they finished out this possession against the Jets and said, where was it against Houston? Allen running the ball. You know, Allen running the ball is a factor here. So, nice. He called his own number, too, which is another part of this. He calls his own number. That's a pass play. They call a pass play, and Allen calls his own number, knows where everyone's going to be, decides he can beat a couple of guys that have, you know, crowded the line a little too much, and he did, and kneel on the ball, see you later, game over. So, happy. I'm happy. Hope you're happy. I don't have a... The game was nuts. The game was nuts. Everything that could happen in that game did happen. A Hail Mary. A doink. A pass that went under Terrell Bernard's arm and over his hip to the back shoulder of Alan Lazard.
Two doinks, actually.
Two doinks. One of them I don't even want to call a doink. It didn't. The sound it made was not a doink sound. I didn't know field goal posts rattled, but that one rattled like it was loose. Everything happened in this game. How many penalties did we end up with? 300? Maybe 300 yards of penalties?
I think one of the Jets players, Kinlaw, I think it was, had three penalties in like three consecutive plays.
Yeah. It was a blur. I mean, of course, we'll talk about all of it, but a blur, this game. And the kind of game where there are so many flags. This is a spot where I don't know if, I'll say myself here, I don't know what I want. On all the replays, right, you get replays of most of these penalties. Weren't most of them actual penalties? And when they were calling a penalty and going back and showing the replay, well, yeah, that's a personal foul. Yeah, that is holding. Yep, that looks like illegal contact to me. I mean, we get mad at officials when they throw 25 flags, not necessarily at the players who commit 25 penalties. Maybe it was more, maybe it was fewer. How many times do you yell out holding? They missed a holding call. If they had called that, people would have been more upset. So I'm glad the Bills won. It would have been misery to come in today and talk about a Hail Mary getting the Jets back in a game that the Bills probably should have dominated. Probably felt like they did to me. It felt like they were in control the entire way. I know they trailed at one point. I know at one point it's 20-20, and the Jets go into the end zone, but it gets called back, and then, of course, they miss a field goal, too. Like, so along the way, they plan on getting 7 points. They come away with zero on that drive. So at some point, it actually might have felt like it was 20-20 on the Braylon Allen touchdown run, but it never actually got there, and I just felt like the Bills were in control the whole way. I wonder if the biggest story of the game, like there's a few big stories in this game, Bills fans, on this Victory Tuesday. 803-0550 is our phone number. Wide open phones. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Hail Mary? Is that what everybody wants to talk about? Want to get right to that? Because I'll say a couple things about it. We can all say a couple things about it. I already look forward to the Bills in a playoff game this year, leading by 4 with 6 seconds left, and the other team has the ball at the 50. And the Bills call timeout because that's what they have to do. They always have to call a timeout. And then the broadcast shows a montage of now Hail Marys that they've been hit for. I know that's coming, right? The Hail Mary montage with the Hail Murray. And is this one called the Hail? By the way, I'm trademarking. The Hail Marin? Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers. Hail Marin. We've got a Hail Murray and a Hail Marin. Who's next?
That one's a bit of a stretch.
I mean, they're all stretches.
Well, Hail Murray, at least, kind of sounds like Mary.
Marin doesn't sound like Mary?
Well, I don't know. It's just like, it's mashing the two names together. I don't know. Like, that's okay. Maybe you're right.
What if it was Tua? I mean, I can't exactly like the Hail Matua. Doesn't work that way. But here on the Hail Mary, a couple things. Holy cow. This is not Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, I can give you a little bit of, hey, listen, a couple of great players made a great play. You can rush Kyler Murray, and he can get away from you and run and escape. And when he did, I feel like, if I remember the play correctly, maybe Jordan Phillips is right there and so close, and he scampers all the way to the left sideline, turns his body and heaves it to DeAndre Hopkins, who is an amazing receiver, who has mossed people his entire career. That Hail Mary is great player makes great play, great player makes great play. This one is Aaron Rodgers stands in the pocket and looks around as the Bills rush two, and then heaves it to, I'm sorry, Alan Lazard? Not created equally, these Hail Marys. So, I know it was halftime versus a game that they lost. I think the Rodgers Hail Mary is far worse. You rushed two. And McDermott said on the field at halftime he was worried about them, you know, going for a field goal, guard the sideline. But holy cow, guard the sideline. In an end-of-game scenario, when you know how many points they need, you might get more specific to how many points they need. At the end of a half, I really might want to protect against the most points. That might be the thing. What's the thing that's worse for me as the half is about to expire? 7 is worse. And the dots, you know, the funny dots, the next-gen stats dots that we get are nice. The Bills have 3 guys covering no man's land as no Jets receivers stay in the mid-range. as soon as it's pretty clear no one's staying in the mid-range, I guess that's when Greg Rousseau decides to start, no criticism of Rousseau here, running at Aaron Rodgers from 40 yards away. There's a highlight of this where Rousseau drops back in coverage, 30 yards, decides, all right, nobody here, and then takes off towards Rodgers, who is heaving the ball into the air. So, man, what a night. Everything that could happen, happened. And the good news is the Bills won. If the Bills find a way to lose that game, we are talking about it as one of the stupidest games in, well, whatever, a stupid Bills game. And it probably goes down as one of the most mismanaged from McDermott if they find a way to lose it. But they didn't mismanage it fully. They won it, and they had big mistakes along the way. But ultimately, what I'm just exasperated by the game itself. It was a hilarious game. Things are, if you'll excuse me, things are just going to come to me that happened in this game that I had already forgotten about. Mike Williams slipping and falling and injuring himself as Taron Johnson makes an unbelievable catch on an interception. Terrell Bernard playing like his hair's on fire. Terrell Bernard was amazing in this game. Taylor Rapp was amazing in this game. Mac Hollins. Shout out Mac Hollins. Did Mac Hollins just dominate DJ Reed the whole night? That guy took a bunch of penalties covering Mac Hollins. I did not have that on the bingo card, that Mac Hollins would be a legitimate downfield threat, drawing penalties for the Bills. So that's all the good stuff. I also mentioned the Hail Mary, so that's some of the bad stuff. So if you've got good, if you've got bad, we'll get your calls in, 803-0550. The schedule, we'll lay it out. Sal's going to join us at 8, Chris Brown at 8:30. We normally talk to Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff on Tuesdays. We're moving that to tomorrow because this is a Bills reaction day. Bills win. They beat the Jets. I don't know if they did anything to convince you out there that they're back where they need to be, but they're ahead of the Jets, and that was nice to see that confirmed. And then what we saw was, even in a goofy game, without maybe their best, they're better than the Jets. Goofy, goofy game. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Let's get some calls in. We'll connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. I'm feeling a lot the same as I did about the team, with a couple more, if I could use Sal's term, arrows up. Ray Davis, arrow up. Taylor Rapp, arrow up. Terrell Bernard. And I want to give one to Mac Hollins, too. Like, Hollins was a difference maker in this game. So, good for him. Happy to see he can contribute. You might not want him contributing as much as he does. I guess I got to give Dawson Knox an arrow up. He also was a part of this game. He hadn't been for quite some time and probably got his most targets in maybe a year. So, good job, Joe Brady. And, Bills win. Sean and Wilson leads us off this morning on a Victory Tuesday. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. Thank you. I love your show. Victory Tuesday. Let's go. But great game. I think it was a good game. Lots of, the lead off of on it. But I thought I was watching like a high school football game with all the flags on both sides of the ball. I mean, they were calling absolutely everything. When do you get to the point that the NFL, the refs just need to let these guys play football? The old school John Reagan smash mouth football. When does it come to that point? Love your show, man.
Thanks, Sean. The game lacked flow. It really hurt. You'd see a flag on every play, and when you get to that spot, even if it's the right call, this is the relationship we always have with officials, right? Like, call it, but let them play. The A.J. Epenesa roughing the passer, I mean, it's pretty tough. That is a league needs to look at its rule book when it comes to unweighting yourself on a player. I am never one to do the, why don't they just make it flag football? That's about as bad a call as you could possibly see. The thing that makes it bad is that the league thinks it's a penalty. It's not even just that an official misses it. They see it and they think, sure, yeah, that's under the interpretation of landing with your body weight on a quarterback. It is just, I don't want to call it a soft tackle, because I'd imagine that A.J. Epenesa tackling you is not exactly a soft experience. But me, a 45-year-old, I feel like I could have taken the hit that Rodgers took on that play and been like, oh, that was okay. I survived. I'm fine. I'm a regular person that was tackled by A.J. Epenesa, and they called roughing the passer. Epenesa had a nice game. Arrow up for him. I got to read Sal's arrow up, arrow down. I hadn't done it yet when I woke up this morning. I'll do it between the, you know, one of the breaks. The officials, I mean, what do you say? You nailed it. I mean, you got it, John. It high school game, disjointed game, lots of ways to say it. You don't want to see a game like that. If that game is in a...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Big spot, like a playoff game, it's talked about as one that ruined an important game, an important moment. And instead, it was just disjointed. Both teams over 100 yards in penalties. Horrible. 803-0550 to Eric in Lockport. Eric, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, man?
It's going all right. I'm glad the Bills won, so we didn't have to talk about a loss off of that ridiculous game. Well, it was a ridiculous game in full, right?
From start to finish. I mean, before I get into my point, I just want to say about that penalty piggybacking. I want someone to explain to me what A.J. Epenesa was supposed to do there. Like, if that was a penalty, then I want, like, Gene Steratore to explain how he was supposed to hit him to not draw the flag. But what I wanted to talk about was, I mean, I'm so glad we won this game so we're not spending the whole day on it. But it seemed to me that the defensive game plan was pretty crazy. I mean, you have 40 years old Aaron Rodgers on one leg, and I don't know if I can recall one time where they blitzed. I mean, they rushed two men on a Hail Mary, and it seems like the one thing Aaron Rodgers is still able to do, if you give him 5 seconds, he can put his arm into a ball. So that's just all I kind of wanted to bring up. Yeah. But, you know, glad we got the win. We'll enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks, Eric. It is the best that Rodgers, I think, has looked all season. So if you're looking for, I don't want to say, whatever. They lost two in a row before this game. So I want to be a little careful about opening up early. What didn't you like? You know, some people don't necessarily want to hear that right away on a Victory Tuesday. They might want to wait for the day two of the reaction. That said, they did make Rodgers look the best he looked. And as good as Douglas and Benford are, they met a little bit of their match. I mean, Garrett Wilson had some success against them. Garrett Wilson in this game was targeted 10 times and caught 8 for 107 and a touchdown. Like, how many receivers do that to the Bills? Not many. Alan Lazard targeted 7 times, 6 catches, 114. Of course, the Hail Mary is a part of that. So you take off the Hail Mary, that's still some good efficiency. Breece Hall targeted 6 times, 5 catches, 56. Like, Rodgers looked like a decent quarterback. I thought, again, that's part of why I think the Jets are just cooked. That's the best he's looked. And, you know, 294 with 2 touchdowns and a pick, and that one of the touchdowns was a gift. Shouldn't have happened. Take it away. He finishes with like 240, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. And that is one of the better games he's played. So the whole thing, I got to go back through my notes, get through some of these ridiculous things that happened in this game. You mentioned Gene Steratore. He tweeted, Gene Steratore, stop watching this game. He's not on ESPN. Of course, he's on CBS. He got up and he tweeted the Grandpa Simpson walking in and walking out of the room meme that you see sometimes. Just, if you're a rules analyst watching this game, what is this, your Super Bowl? The rules analyst work overtime last night? Did he make more? Just a mess. A mess of a game. Hey, they won. And they're home for Sunday, 1 o'clock. We've got some Sundays on the schedule. That's nice to look forward to. Lots to get to. 803-0550 on the Bills win. The good and the bad. The good. Ray Davis. Legit. And I'm seeing a lot of people saying his style is perfect for this offense. Ray Davis. Great stuff. The other side of the table, the Hail Mary and Tyler Bass. They've got to do something. It can't happen every week. It can't. I don't know what the answer is, but there's got to be an answer coming on Tyler Bass. 803-0550, Victory Tuesday. It's Buffalo Bills football Tuesday/Monday, but Tuesday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. More your calls. We'll rip through highlights, all the good stuff that we normally do on a Victory Monday coming up here on a Victory Tuesday on WGR.
Takes the snap, back to pass, looks to the left, has Dalton Kincaid at the 45, breaks a tackle at a 50, breaks another one as he runs over a defender, and he's got a first down, and that's got the Bills bench up and fired. He lines up under center, over the left side, and he is in for a 1 yard touchdown run. Josh Allen's first rushing touchdown since week one.
Chris Brown on the call. I'd gone back to look. The last time Allen went five straight games without a rushing touchdown, it was back in 2021. In quite some time. Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Time for some Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks stats of the game brought to you by Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Should we just do the penalty statistics? ESPN had them on the screen a moment ago. Absolutely crazy amount of penalties in this game. Time of possession was about even. First downs about even. The Bills ran for 10 first downs, passed for 10 first downs, 5 of 11 on third down, and they win this game. 149 rushing, 210 passing, 11 for 94 on the Bills, 11 for 110 on the Jets. That's penalties. 22 penalties in this game. Both teams fumbled the ball. Neither team lost it. Boy, the Bills were lucky to keep that one. That was the Josh Allen experience, right? We're back on that roller coaster, for better or for worse. He still does not have an interception. He nearly had a fumble, ball on the ground, and then right after throws the ball to Dawson Knox for the touchdown. So there you go. There's your Skyworks stats of the game. Bills win. They are 4-2. They appear to be cruising to the AFC East again. I will fully expect them to win the division. And from here, maybe kind of get things right. One of the things about this offense, a lot had been saying, is maybe it needs a little bit of time to gel. And I'm a little bit, conflicted on that idea. Because as you watch the game, I think Allen played really well. And Ray Davis, of course, ran the ball really well. So much so that we're going to now talk about wanting to get the ball in Ray Davis's hands in addition to James Cook, who, of course, has been a big part of this offense. But the passing game right now, it did the job against the Jets. And that's good. They normally struggle against the Jets. Allen, 19 of 25, 215, two touchdowns. That's a pretty good day. Nothing wrong with that. And he ran for one. Nothing wrong with that, right? That's fine. The thing about the passing game is, to me, it still looks like it is not sharp. And whether that's guys getting open or whatever it might be, for Allen to go 19 of 25 for 215, when it seemed like 75% of his dropbacks were snap, drop, look, nothing there. He held the ball a lot, and he scrambled a lot, and he made plays out of nothing. And I wonder, quarterback above replacement, however, I'll just make a stat here, make up a point. What's the average quarterback doing that offense yesterday? I don't know how much. Of course, they're managing the game. They're probably handing off to Ray Davis quite a bit because he had some success. So did Ty Johnson. But it still looks to me like this offense is snap, Josh looks, then he has to make a play. There's the play call, and then there's the play he's going to make after the play is already broken. And that's where he shines quite a bit. He shines as much as any quarterback in the league. And it's not exactly a shock to me that on the final play, where the Bills clinched the game and Allen runs for the first down, that was a called pass play. And rather than go for that, whatever the throw is, he looks, he sees, he thinks he can get it. That's Allen having faith in himself. I get that. But also more faith that he can get it than whatever the play might have been. And to me, that's not nothing. It's a nice play by our quarterback. Allen's the kind of quarterback that covers up for a lot of people, makes people better, makes the receivers better, makes the coordinator better, and he had a strong game, Allen did. So thank you to Josh Allen for pulling this one out. Primetime win for him. He's very good in primetime. And the Jets in primetime. The Jets and Giants now 4-31 in their last 35 primetime games. Chris in Maryland, next up, as we continue to take your calls here on Victory Tuesday on WGR. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? It seems like it's been a few years. My son said you're gonna call. Said I will today. So I have two things. I'm gonna be quick on the Epinesa thing. It's exhausting watching the league with this roughing the passer stuff. At the end of the day, I understand the head injuries. I understand the cheap shots to the knees. But it's football. If somebody gets, I mean, hey, you could tackle someone, a running back, and you get on the back the same way he was on Aaron Rodgers, and it's fine. It's and that's even if you're trailing them from behind, and it's not a call. I don't understand what you know the defensive players are supposed to do there. It was just ridiculous. It was called, and I'm like, I just feel like if we was in another game, whether it's next week Tennessee or the week before, they probably wouldn't have called that because it seemed like officiating just it was just well, I can't the villain of the show. I wouldn't even say the star, but it was bad, and my second point is Taliban. Jesus Christ. This guy, I never liked him as a kid. He's never been good. He really hasn't been consistent since he's been with us. But they got to address that. I get that you want to have faith in your guys, but, yeah, that's not going to work. And he's costing us. He's costing us games.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. I had someone write in, and I wonder, you know, I'll bring this up with Sal at 8 o'clock when he joins us, how much benefit of the doubt are we going to give Bass because the Jets kicker missed two, and it was a windy day, and the Jets kicker missed a short one. It's a fair question, right? It's a little bit of context thrown in there. All right, do I want to give him a little bit of a pass? And the problem with that is that Bass misses one every week. So you could say, well, it was windy. Yeah, okay. What about Miami? What about every week? And the one that got blocked looked like a shank. As someone that plays a lot of golf and this year went through the shanks, after that real bad miss from Bass, on the first replay, I'm watching for him to just, you know, pull this thing dead left and think, he's got to get over this. He's got to find a way through this. Mental, what is it? What's going on with this guy's game? And I don't know what the answer is. Because all answers other than trade for a kicker, all the other answers are get someone worse than him and hope he plays better. You've got career numbers, kicking field goals. Bass has experience in your stadium. You've trusted him before. He is in a slump. I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's in a slump. And missing one every game, missing an extra point, missing another kick, sure, the conditions are a part of that. There's no disputing that that's a part of it. But it's not like he's made everything when the conditions are good. And I don't know the answer. I can't imagine they would trade for a kicker. The cap is such that he's on the team, as I understand it. And signing someone to the practice squad and then elevating them for a game is just taking a scratch-off ticket. Let's hope this works better. And that might be good, or you might end up in an important game in December or in the playoffs having elevated a kicker and that guy misses too. And now where are you? But it's real. It's real. It's whether it's in Bass's head, it's certainly in every Bills fan's head. Do you feel confident in that guy walking out there? not a lot of Bills fans do, and I get it. Larry in South Florida. Larry, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. So let's start. First of all, I'll start with some honesty. I went to bed right before. Well, I didn't go to bed. I turned it off right before the end of the third quarter because I couldn't take it anymore.
too nutty of a game?
Well, and I want to start with a positive before I get to my negative. You know my negative is going to be McDermott because it always is. But Allen was, I thought, a freak. You know, as soon as he got outside the pocket, and they showed the numbers of him outside the pocket and his throws, the guy's unbelievable. And the amount of total touchdowns this guy's had since 2019 or 2020 they showed, the next closest person is more than 30 away.
Yeah.
So here's, like, and then the play of Davis was unbelievable, and Rapp and Epinesa, and how do you call a personal foul on Epinesa? His first sack seemed way more violent than the second. And then Jeremy, watch that play again. At the end, he puts his arm down to absorb some of the hit. And then, like, Troy was funny. He goes, well, I think at the end he's trying to do a little something down there just to justify it. But then he later said, no, actually, that was a terrible call. You know, so it's like I think these defensive ends are starting to be a little afraid to actually go for a sack that's going to knock the quarterback down because they're going to get that type of stupid flag. And I'm sure it had something to do with being a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. But I thought Rapp, for what I kept the TV on for, was amazing, as was Taron Johnson. And so, but here's three things I think, because I know we're not getting rid of McDermott. So, I mean, which I'll get to that stupid Hail Mary and that timeout before that. But I think Bean needs to take the bull by the horns and make three major moves. We've got to get a wide receiver, number one. And it can't just be like a Curtis Samuel. We have to have a wide receiver, and we have to have one 3 weeks ago. Right, because that's when the slump really started. And you're right. There's really no succinct rhythm.
Yeah. Larry, can I tell you about Curtis Samuel, who again, was a bit of a – he was a part of the game yesterday. He had a target in Miami, and he had a target in this game where – it's going to, I don't want this to sound super mean to Curtis Samuel. I still think actually has a role in this offense. But there have been two targets in the end zone where they go off his hands. And my thought is, okay, that's your $8 million receiver. The guy that catches that makes $30 million. Like, you, why do you pay those guys? Because they make that catch. Jamar Chase makes that catch. And, you know, in the very, very fine margins of playoff games and big moments, you need that. You might need that catch. And I don't think Curtis Samuel's been giving you that catch.
No, correct. And so, you know, and I liked him, definitely, because I've seen him play over the years, especially when he was with the Jets and the Skins. But we need a number one wide receiver. We can't stop the run against a team that knows how to run, and that's been proven. I know we like the speedy linebackers, and that's great. We need some serious, angry beef on that line. So I think he's got to make three moves. Number one, wide receiver. Number two, we need a stud defensive line. How he's going to get them, I don't know. That's his job, not mine. Third, need a kicker. This is like you said, he consistently misses something every week. Now it wasn't like it was a 57-yard field goal. It was 47 yards. And that extra point was a joke. But for some reason, I just don't know why they keep this guy around after everything. But now to McDermott. So I've been calling for his head since the 13-second game. I'm going to call for it again. Once again, the guy uses a defensive timeout to plan for the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And you come up with that. You come up with rushing two defenders when it's proven Aaron Rodgers outside the pocket stinks. Terrible. So you put pressure in the guy's face, he makes bad decisions all the time. Now, we're just going to let him sit there. Let it get set up down the field, and then the very end we'll send somebody. But we're going to take away the silence because we're afraid of three. We don't really care if we give up seven. I mean, that's just terrible games management. So do I agree with you they're going to probably run away and get the division? Yeah, I do. They're not going to do anything in the playoffs because we have Sean McDermott. Now, here's what I am willing to do. If somehow he pulls off a miracle and gets to the Super Bowl, I will handwrite a letter of apology. I will send it to you at WGR. When you have him on the radio, you can hand it to him. But until I see that, I mean, Josh Allen was a monster last night, yep. Even though he didn't have the greatest stats. We are wasting this guy, Jeremy.
Yeah, Larry, thanks. I'm up against the break. It might have been, for a lot of people, a reminder. You can see this dude be great, and he needs to be surrounded by as many great players as possible. And the Bills are, you know, team in transition. So one thing I said about this year was we're going to find out who the next batch of great Bills are. And right now it's looking like Bernard, and I don't even crown Taylor Rapp just yet, but he played a heck of a game. And Epinesa has been a nice role player and filled in nicely in this game. So we're going to find out the next batch. Got to add some more pieces on offense that are part of that batch. It's Allen. It's Shakir. It's Kincaid. It's a nice line. 803-0550. I'm glad, you know, I don't want to be the only one coming on the radio and saying, like, they still need a receiver. I'm glad people still think that. I certainly do. And on that Curtis Samuel point, we'll dig more into that a little bit later. And I also want to talk about the run defense as a function of what kind of team they are now and how that weakness in the past has meant nothing to me might be something to key in on more because of the way they play. I'll explain as we go. Thanks for the phone call. 803-0550. More of your calls as we roll through this Victory Tuesday. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday on a Tuesday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Bills win. Up next, Tennessee back home after a three-game road trip. They only get one, but they get the one that probably needed the most, the division game. Win over the Jets, 4-2.
It's another run play, another giant hole. Cuts it back. Five. Runs over a defender. He's down to the goal line. They say he's down at the two. Ray Davis is wrecking defenders. Sauce Gardner, the victim on that one.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.